Your friends, and so greet your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ. On with our service.
Good to see you, brother. Love you too. Good morning, everyone. I look around and again, I see faces that just mean a lot to me. And Ivy and I have just been so blessed in being a part of the life of this church for a good number of years. And I'm so grateful that we've got a good young preacher now. That can, you know, change is inevitable, isn't it? I mean, that's just part of life. You know, the Bible talks so much about change, and we're going to talk about the change that's the most, how can I express it, expectant of all, and that's when we change from our mortal bodies to our immortal bodies. Can you imagine that? I looked around, you know, I was sitting over here, and I usually sit somewhere out here and look at the back of someone's head, and I don't see their lips moving so much. But to think about being a part of a family that praises God together in song, it kind of struck me for a moment, and I thought about that. You know, you have different emotions, don't you, from time to time. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm part of a body of believers that are scattered all over the world. You came from different directions to get here so that you could mingle your voices together in your dedication to the one that you have concluded is your creator. What a marvelous thing. You know, people of all shapes and sizes and colors are the marvelous creation of God. Yeah. You know, and then I look down at my old hands and I'm saying, you know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, just like everyone else in this congregation and around the world. You know, was there a reason? Was there a purpose for all of this? Yes. And again, I say, yes, there's a reason for you being here. There is hope beyond human conception. Waiting for the children of God. Now, in the meantime, we've got to deal with things. I ran across the cute story about, I think old Chuck Swindoll told it, and he's talking about the parakeet named Chirpy. And Chirpy never saw it coming. One day, he's peacefully chirping along in his cage, and the next minute, he finds himself sucked in, washed up, and blown out. His owner decided that the cage was too dirty, so she gets out her vacuum cleaner and she's going to clean up the cage. She sticks it into the cage to, you know, suck up the seeds and the feathers, and the phone rang. So she, all of a sudden, reached for the phone. And Chirpy got sucked up. So she dropped the phone, and in her heart of hearts, she just, what to do? And so she unzipped, ran over, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and unzipped the bag, and there was poor Chirpy. Stunned. Didn't know, scared to death. Full of dirty dust and all of that. So what would any good? She grabbed the parakeet and ran into the bathroom and turned on the water as fast as it would go and washed old Chirpy in ice cold water. Oh, what'd I do to him? Like any good pet owner would do then. She wants to help Chirpy, so she grabs him up and gets her hair dryer out and blasts him with the hot air. I thought it was a cute little story, but the more, you know, Chirpy doesn't sing much anymore. Do you feel that way sometime? Do you go out in this old world and you get doused, you get sucked up into things that just cause you all kinds of angst and problems? And then you get doused, and then maybe you get a blast of something you're not expecting. But there's good news, and we're going to talk about that today. You know, the people in the Bible, they really went through a lot. Some of you are going through a lot. But there's one thing that keeps us together, and that's this assurance of life. So we're going to take a look at some of the evidence. You know, this is one of my favorite topics. When Jordan called me and said, you know, Doc says I just better let my voice rest, I scrambled around and I, you know, isn't it great to have technology? You know, I had my thumb drive, and on my thumb drive was a bunch of old sermons. And so I rushed through and I said, which one of those do I want to preach? And I grabbed one that said evidence, because I think it's very important for us to be reassured on a regular basis of why we believe what we believe. I think it's very important for us to take time to take a look at the precious Word of God and see the blessed assurance that only God can give. So let's do some reading. There is life after death. Notice in Acts chapter 1 at verse 1 through 4. We're going to take a look at it. This former account I made, O Theophilus, O friend of God. That's what that word means, that name. Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until in which the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to men, to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now watch this phrase. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Now I want you to drive a peg down by that phrase. Many infallible truths he gave. He was seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now the former treatise has a wonderful introduction as well. So let's read that together in Luke chapter 1 at verse 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among, now watch, fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of your Creator? Think about that as we develop this evidence that hopefully will reassure you and give you a stronger foundation for your faith. Let's have an orderly account that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. You know, our Creator knows that we need to know some things. He knows that we need to know some things. That's why He's given us some infallible truths. You go way back in the Old Testament, and God tells us, I'm going to tell you what happens before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will know that I am God. That I am your Creator. And that you are the created. And that being understood, you make the decision to trust in Him with all of your heart and never lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. And if you do that, life-changing things take place. God is waiting to bless that life that surrenders to His plan for that life. Hey, even before they happen, I'm going to announce it so that when they do happen. Now, if you looked at Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 1 and following, you would find that he's talking about the coming of Christ. That's what he's talking about. Now, when was it written? 740 years thereabouts before the Christ. He said, I'm going to tell you about it before it happens, so that when it does happen, you might believe with all your heart and all your soul. You know, God wants you to know that your friend, our friend, is alive. And if he's alive, then he can give life to you and your mortal body and make it immortal someday. Look at this phrase again that we already looked at in Acts chapter 1. He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. We're going to take a look at some of those proofs. Infallible means, in the essence of the meaning, it says these are things that cannot be disputed. These are things that are so concrete that any person honestly looking at the evidence concludes, hey, I am the created. I have no choice in life but to come to the realization that my God has a plan for me, and He loves me so much that He gave His own life for me. Think about that. The ancients knew how important it was to have infallible proofs before acting upon things that are presented. Aristotle knew it. That's the etymology of the words. The words have power. The words have meaning. And so you have the word that says there's life after death. There were 40 days of intrigue proving this. There was this woman named Mary Magdalene who had been possessed, and now she was free. And then there was several women that went to the grave with her that witnessed the resurrection. There were a couple of guys on a road to a town called Emmaus that couldn't believe until their eyes were open that the Christ was indeed alive, just as Isaiah said. Then there's old Peter, and of course, the 10 apostles, and last of all, 500 brethren at one time. Let's take a look very quickly at these. Mary Magdalene. Now, when he rose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out all these demons. She went and told those things. That had been, you know, she couldn't wait to tell others, he's alive, and they didn't believe it. Then you had the women that went to the grave with her. Now watch. And so they went to tell the disciples. Now who met them on the way? Jesus said, rejoice. Rejoice! There is life after death. There's many of us in this room. You know, I'm beginning to realize that age is just not relevant. You know, the moment I was born, I was already old. Think about that with me together. And after the service, say, hey, Jim, you got it all wrong if you don't agree. But I look back on my years and even the last 7 or 8 years, and I'm thinking, man, that went by fast. Pow, it's gone. Every child that's born into this world, I'm convinced, is going to have that same emotional response to life when they get older. Wow, what happened to it? It's gone. So age is not relevant at all. We're all in the land of the dying, trying to get to the land of the living. And when we see that God had a plan, when he saw how desperately and broken we would become because we rejected him, he says, I'm going to take care of that sin problem, and I'm going to make it possible for my people to have hope. Yes, when they're sucked in. Yes, when they're blasted with the elements of the uncertainty of life, and then they find themselves blasted with the uncomfortable things that come our way in life, that there is a God who says, you be steadfast and unmovable, and I'll give you hope. Always abound in the work of the Lord. You just hang in there. And here's the evidence for you developing that confidence in your faith. I'm going to show myself alive to so many people who are eyewitnesses that when the court of public opinion is forced to be dealt with in the eyes of the one who take the time to study the evidence, they can come to no other conclusion. There's a reason for my life. And I need to be born again with that realization. There was these people that didn't believe it, but nevertheless, as you see the flashing of this evidence on the screen behind me, I mean, this is a lot of evidence. Then you have Peter. Was it Zach that read the scripture today? Yeah. These things that we believe. Notice, I want to read this. You read it as I read it. For I delivered unto you, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, that first of all, which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he was resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by the rock, who wasn't too steadfast until he saw the risen Christ. And then he was seen by all the apostles. You know, that is the central part of the Bible. The Bible is centered on the Christ who came to make it possible for us to have hope in a dying world. I heard this Sunday school teacher. They had been studying the creation, and she had the kindergartners all together, and she said, now let's review. So she asked, what happened on the first day? And they answered correctly. What happened on the second day? And they answered correctly. Now she said, what happened on the third day? What did God do? And one little girl in the back said, got all excited. He raised from the dead. You know, that's the central theme of the Bible. If he raised from the dead, and he says, I'll raise you from the dead, can you believe it, church? I believe you can. He appeared to the 10 apostles. I like this one. This one, next one, is the one I like. Old Thomas didn't believe. He'd already appeared to the other 10. And so Thomas said, now look, you guys, maybe you've seen a ghost or something, but I'm not going to believe until I actually see the nail print. And if I can see that side that was injured, you know, then I'll believe. Now they were all together, and Thomas, 8 days later, he was there with them. And Jesus came right through a locked door, said, Thomas, come over here. See this hand? See that nail print? You take a look at my Thomas. He didn't have to. He just said, my God and my Lord. And then what did Jesus say to him? You read it. That's what the Bible says. You're blessed if you haven't seen him physically, but you believe. Now, if you've got enough evidence to believe that, What are you going to do with the evidence? Well, I hope that if you're not convinced yet, that you'll think about this. Now, after all of these events, and these aren't the only ones that occurred on those 40 days of intrigue, he said, you go up to Galilee. Mary Magdalene, you tell my disciples that I'm going to Galilee and I want a big party up there. I want a whole bunch of people to show up. Now, I want to tell you something. If some one of our celebrities had died and we had the funeral and everybody said, yeah, the coroner said they're dead. And someone said, yeah, I saw him alive and I want everyone to go out to Worlds of Fun. He's going to show up out there. Or she's going to show up out there. How many people would show up? Be a bunch. 500 saw him at one time. Look at that. The Apostle Paul seems to be saying to the jury, now imagine you being the jury. If you don't believe all of this evidence of the resurrection, if you're not convinced yet, you just go up to Galilee and he's going to appear. Now, those people that saw him there, some of them have died, but you get a consensus and you're going to find you can't dispute the evidence. He's alive. Now, if you've been sucked in, and just washed all over and blasted, don't lose heart. I want to quote a passage, and I want you to listen very carefully. Even though 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And this light affliction, the things that we have to face in life, which is only for a moment, is working in you a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While you do not look at the things that are seen in the body, you know, think about the glorified body that we're going to get. But our minds are on the unseen things. Because the things that are seen are temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. That'll give you hope. That'll give you hope. And we close with hope. We close with the idea that there's every reason for us to rejoice. Jesus came into their midst and he said, rejoice. Rejoice, there is life after death. Now, what are you going to do with that if you're not born again? What are you going to do with that information? What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to just kind of blow him off? Say, no, wait for a more convenient time. Come back and see me when I've had a little more time to think about it. If you're convinced that he's the Christ, today is the day of salvation for everyone who is ready to respond. If you've wandered away, today is the day to come back. Why wait? Put on Christ and rejoice as together we stand and sing.